You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg is closing in on his final term in the city, and the four leading candidates are quickly approaching the primary to see who will move forward. If one gains 50% plus one of the vote on March 5th, they become mayor. If not, the top two candidates move on to the general election in November. This month, we've been dedicating Thursdays to sit down with the candidates. So far, we've spoken with former city council member Steve Hansen, epidemiologist Dr. Flojan Kofer. Next week will be former state senator Dr. Richard Pan. And today we welcome Kevin McCarty, who is a former Sacramento City Council member and a current state assembly member representing the city at the state capitol. Assemblymember McCarty joined us now. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Great to be here.
All right. This campaign is kind of a full circle moment for you. You were formerly a city council member with Sacramento. You moved on to the state legislature. You represent our city. Was throwing your hat into the mayoral race, was that a natural decision for you?
No, I wasn't planning on doing this. It's full circle running for mayor as a Sacramentan. I grew up here in Sacramento. I love my hometown city. You know, I've served our community as a city housing commissioner, as a council member, and as a lawmaker. And I've always been about, you know, improving Sacramento, bringing about real solutions to our issues, focusing on how government can make a difference in people's lives, to help my family growing up here, growing up in a single parent family. So I know that government can make a difference. I love being the state lawmaker, working on, you know, important issues like education, environmental issues, racial justice, a plethora of issues impacting Sacramento. But I wanted to step in and help solve problems at City Hall, and the mayor decided not to run for reelection. So I said, hey, I think I could do a good job and be effective.
If you're elected, it would be a similar trajectory to Mayor Steinberg, former city council member, state lawmaker. He was Senate pro tem, then becoming the city's mayor. Is there an advantage to bringing a statewide perspective to the city?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that the mayor has done a really good job at that I will do is bringing resources from the state, having connections with the governor, the legislature, the administrative branch to bring in, you know, transportation, park opportunities, helping our nonprofits, you know, public safety investments. So I really want to build upon that, you know, and I'm a different person than Mayor Steinberg. I think I have different skill set, but he's been able to deliver some of those resources for Sacramento and connecting the dots. And I think having understanding, you know, being a city commissioner, a council member, and a legislator helps me understand how government works. And at the end of the day, people want us in government to be effective.
If you are elected mayor, come December when you're sworn in, what is your priority day one?
Well, the top priority that wherever we go in Sacramento and frankly across the state is housing and homelessness. It's probably the reason that really pushed me to run. And really two things happened in the last year or so. First of all, this is an issue hanging around all of our collective necks, all of government. It's an albatross around city, county, federal, and state. And we are all in this together. You know, we're going to solve this issue by working together, not pointing fingers and suing each other. It's working together. You know, I had kids who were walking home from school last year and they had to, you know, go in the street under the bridge to go home every day. And I just said, you know, this is just too much. It's not good for the people sleeping out there, nor is it good for the, individuals who are trying to get home and families. And at the same time, I realized that it's not always about money. You know, I bring up this example quite often. In the budget 2 years ago, I was able to get a $25 million earmark for the county of Sacramento to do emergency housing to get people off of the American River Parkway. And that was more than double what they asked for. And now we're going on 2 years and we haven't spent a penny of that. And so what I'm realizing that it's not always about money. I've helped deliver tens of millions for the city and county. I think we need more urgency to tell people where they can go. I supported the concept that we can't have urban camping in our parks, along our streets and along the parkway. But also conversely, we need to tell people where they can go, whether that's, you know, tiny homes at Cal Expo, the old city courtyards, Caltrans lands around the city. I want to be more urgent and bring about solutions on day one, and I'll agendize this issue every week as a council, as the mayor, to make sure the city council focuses on where people can go to address this critical issue.
On the topic of urban camping and redirecting people to safe places, I mean, I know you're well aware we have a fraction of bed space and shelter space available for the number of people who are unhoused and unsheltered on any given night. I think in the county, it's like upwards of 9 to 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. So how do you achieve that? I mean, that is an ambitious goal, but and I think one that a lot of other elected officials have. How will you actually make it a reality?
Well, it goes back to this $25 million question. I think too often government focuses on the perfect solution, not the good solution. The perfect too often is the enemy of the good. And yeah, it'd be great to have everybody to be indoors in an apartment and permanent supportive housing. But heck, I'd like places where people can go and legally camp and, you know, the old city courtyards, some Caltrans land where there's water and bathroom facilities and trash cans and services to help those individuals. So whether it's safe ground locations, whether it's places where people can legally park their cars or RVs, whether it's places we can put tiny homes, I think they all need to be on the menu. And some of these lower dollar solutions, you can focus on getting the masses off of the street today. Some of the, you know, people would say that's not enough, that's just a Band-Aid. Well, it's way better than we have now for those individuals and our communities. So I want to bring about more urgency to focus on low barrier solutions to get people off the streets today.
What would you say to voters who are dissatisfied or just flat out frustrated with how elected officials at both the local and state level have handled this issue, devoting, as you mentioned, and just unprecedented money, but not really feeling a difference in their neighborhoods?
Well, I'm frustrated. That's why I'm leaving the legislature to run for mayor. And, you know, when I left the city council 9 years ago, you know, homelessness wasn't an issue. We didn't talk about this issue. I think the homeless count in all of Sacramento County was just over 1,000. So it's, you know, more than quadrupled since then. And, you know, it's an issue that is very, very frustrating and tears on us. And, you know, I've tried my best as a lawmaker to write laws, to like set land over at Cal Expo for emergency housing, to deliver money for the city and the county. And I got a special earmark for the county of $25 million. And it's still, we haven't been able to tackle all these issues. So I want to bring a more sense of urgency today. And this connects to your prior issue you spoke on today on Insight, which is these things are interrelated. It deals with addiction, mental health. And so some of the solutions, I think, for the city are honestly what I'm currently working right now as an assembly member, going to make it easier for me and mayors across California, some of the reforms we're doing now to put more resources to deal with some of the individuals who have these underlying challenges as well.
And this is an issue that transcends the city of Sacramento. And the city and the county, they need to work together. And there is something that they've agreed to on paper, you know, following Measure O, but there is tensions. There are lawsuits between the county and the city. I mean, you would inherit this if you become mayor. How would you overcome these hurdles to work in tandem with the county?
Well, I don't support the lawsuit, and I think we're going to solve this issue by working together. One thing that I note is that the legislature, we're now giving money to cities to tackle homelessness, and we're saying, we're only going to give you money if you work together, come up with a regional plan. That's why I'm working right now on legislation, bipartisan legislation with Assembly Members Wynn and Hoover, Republican and Democrat here in Sacramento, S3, to have a regional joint powers authority to work on this. Our grand jury came out and said that one of the great flaws, we don't have enough connectedness focusing on our solutions. So we are all in this together. It's not just Rancho's problem or Elk Grove or City of Sacramento. We're all in the county together. So we need to work and engaging in these things together. I have good relationships with County Board of Supervisors members of the City Council. You know, I've been successful and effective bringing about practical solutions to our problems by working with others. And I'm, you know, a big believer that if you want to go, you know, fast, you jump out on your own. If you want to go far, you go with others, just like that African proverb. And so that's my model in governing, and I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and work with our local government partners to push this issue forward and come up with solutions for people, because my neighbors are frustrated.
Yeah. Well, being the face of the city is one thing. As mayor, ultimately in Sacramento, you're just one vote. And Mayor Steinberg has expressed frustrations with this in the past. You know, there's no executive order, for example. How would you collaborate and compromise with city council members for effective change to get the policies that you want across the finish line?
Well, you know, I've been a council member, so that's going to help me understand how it works. And I don't support the strong mayor measures. I've opposed them in the past. I think we need to work with all members of the council. Everybody should have an equal voice. I've been, like I just mentioned earlier, I believe if you want to go far, you go in tandem with others. So I've, you know, all my success in my legislative and city council, you know, career on delivering, writing laws on, you know, protecting neighborhoods and going after slumlords and smart gun laws, and my laws at the legislature on education and mental health reform, I had to do by getting people to go with me. So I'm used to working under that system. I have, you know, allies on the city council right now, and I can work with anybody. So I'm ready to step in and be a team player and lead the city of Sacramento. The mayor is one vote. Their vote just as much as any other council member. They do have the reality that they're the face of the city of Sacramento, and the people of Sacramento expect that they kind of outline a vision. But, you know, we have to live within our governance structure, and I'm well aware of that and ready to be successful under that model.
On the issue of public safety, crime and retail thefts, I mean, they have become a growing concern. Recently, the Sacramento County Sheriff, the DA, the police chief, they've talked publicly about this. But residents also have expressed harm in the most vulnerable, under-resourced communities due to over-policing over the years and decades. So how would you work to create a safe neighborhood for everybody?
Well, I have a very unique vantage point here because I've been a leader in smart police reforms for a decade before they were popular. You know, before, you know, the death of Stephon Clark and George Floyd, you know, I introduced bills on, you know, independent investigations for police shootings and, you know, changing the use of force standards. You know, because I think that you can support the police department, which I do. I don't support defunding the police department, but I also demand accountability and public trust. So I've always leaned in on those issues. So I will continue to do so as mayor of Sacramento, whether there are public records on discipline proceedings and so forth, making sure the city of Sacramento follows the spirit of the law. And thankfully, in the last couple of years, we haven't had any high-profile, you know, police incidents. And so I think our work on de-escalation is probably proving to be successful. And I will continue to push on that front. But the issues of public safety, I hear it loud and clear. You know, my day job, I'm chairing the Public Safety Committee in the legislature right now, negotiating retail theft solutions on addressing Prop 47. So I'm doing that again. My day job is going to make it easier for me to be mayor next year because I'm leaning in, and we are currently writing some smart reforms to bring more accountability for individuals who are repeat offenders of retail theft. And, you know, I've always been about finding balanced solutions. So, you know, I don't want to go back to the 1990s and mass incarceration and sending somebody to prison for 25 years for stealing a piece of pizza, but repeat offenders at local convenience stores or Target and so forth are causing havoc in our communities, and we need to bring about more accountability, and I'm pushing that, and we'll do so as mayor as well to implement those laws.
You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with current State Assembly member Kevin McCarty, who is running for Sacramento mayor. As I mentioned, Daryl Steinberg, the mayor, is rounding out his second term. How do you think he did?
You know, I don't know who could have done a better job during these past 8 years than Mayor Steinberg. You know, we went through a global pandemic. We went through, you know, the summer of George Floyd, and the year before that, Stephon Clark. You know, the spike in homelessness has doubled, not just here in Sacramento, but across our state and frankly, this issue across the nation. So he's brought a lot of resources and solutions, and, you know, I applaud him for that. I want to take, you know, the mantle and or the baton and go on to the next level. You know, I support what he's done in so many issues, but, you know, I think it's an incomplete grade, and I want to focus on unfinished business. And, you know, the one thing that I really want to zero in on is, again, bringing more urgency to the issue of helping people get off the streets today. And I think that we have failed collectively in local government satisfying that. It could have been much worse. And I know we say that because of the beds that we've opened in the city of Sacramento. When I was in the city council, for example, we had no homeless beds, not one. Now, the mayor always alludes to, rightfully so, that he's helped and the council's helped deliver over 1,200. So, you know, that's not small potatoes. But we still have a lot of unfinished business. And I want to, you know, move our city forward. This is my hometown where my kids are, you know, freshmen in high school, where, you know, I care about the future and the safety of our city. And so we want to make sure that we continue to push Sacramento forward.
One of the biggest challenges you'll have to face if elected mayor is that the city is facing an estimated $50 million budget deficit for the upcoming fiscal year. I mean, you served on the city council from 2004 to 2014, so that was also during the Great Recession. How will you prioritize funding city services with a budget deficit like this?
Well, first thing is I'm really distraught that we do have this $50 million It distraughts me in the right route. It's a little disturbing that we have a $50 million deficit in an era where we don't have a sharp decline in revenues. So I was on the council in 9, 10, 11, 12 during the Great Recession when we had unemployment over 10%, massive drop in sales tax and property tax revenue. We're not seeing that in the city of Sacramento, and we're still seeing a $50 million shortfall with revenues and expenditures. And I think that's very problematic. You know, I was there when we had to, you know, shut parks and swimming pools and lay off public safety personnel with the police department and fire department, brown out fire stations. And it was terrible. And I don't want to have to go through that again. So, you know, I'm you know, ready to jump in there and roll up my sleeves and look for solutions to preserve core city services. If that means doing things differently, I'm okay with that. But, you know, I think that one of the larger questions we need to ask ourselves is how are we in this situation when we don't have a massive decline in revenue coming into the city of Sacramento? Hmm.
Another interesting question I'm asking because you're currently a state lawmaker and you've been working on converting some state office buildings to housing in recent years. You know, there is a push from some state agencies to get people back into the office, you know, post-pandemic, post-COVID time. I guess, do you support that? I mean, where do you stand on hybrid work, remote work, or just going back to work and getting to the next chapter?
Well, I think the nature of work is changing forever in our country, not just in California with state government. I don't think we could put the genie back in the bottle and have people all go back to work. It's going to be remote or hybrid work like that for a while. And then those are negotiations between state employees, their unions, and the state and the governor's office. And so, you know, it's part of out of the city's hands and frankly, out of the state legislature's hands. So that's happening. But the reality is we have far fewer people downtown, and that's very impactful for our city. And that's one of the things
that
I pride myself on is looking for real solutions to our problems. So during the pandemic, I saw this and I says, you know what? We should take these lemons and make lemonade. So I actually wrote a law. The governor signed it saying we should look at some of these state buildings and focus on adaptive reuse. Turn them into housing. So the first one off the books is the EDD building at 800 Capitol Mall. We chose a developer and we're going to convert that building into 500 plus affordable housing units in the coming years. So that's just round one. I know the governor is excited about doing this in other locations. I'm currently working on doing this at the courthouse. When the county courthouse moves to the rail yards, that'll be vacant as well. So I think that's very promising for two things. One, bringing life to downtown, which is the heart of our central city. We saw during the pandemic that Midtown thrived and downtown was kind of dying. Why? People lived in Midtown. They don't live downtown. So repopulating downtown is a big part of my vision for the city of Sacramento. Plus, the other massive issue we talked about earlier with housing and homelessness, we need more housing at all income levels. So having hundreds of, if not thousands of new housing units down there in the core is going to be able to address, you know, the next generation of workers that need workforce housing.
Finally, I asked the candidates who've already been on the show about how their lived experiences and their identities would shape how they lead. Steve Hansen and Flo Cofer would mark firsts in their own right. Hansen would be the first openly gay mayor. Cofer would be the first Black woman elected mayor. And next week when we have Dr. Pan, he would become the first elected Asian American as mayor. How have your lived experiences and identities, how will it shape how you continue to lead and approach elected office?
Well, I don't know if I have a first like the others, and they're all great candidates, by the way, but I have a unique lived experience. I am a biracial African-American man. So the experience of, you know, racial justice and making sure government doesn't leave people behind. And people have been historically excluded in services throughout the city of Sacramento. It certainly impacts me. Issues like, you know, racial justice on policing issues always is my lens of what I've learned about and lived from my family. You know, also, you know, I talk about my mom a lot. She passed away 15 years ago. She was my rock. And against all odds, she made it here in Sacramento. I went to community college, then Sac State, then law school, all with four kids while working full time. So I know that government can make a difference in people's lives. And so I always remember her experiences and, you know, after school programs and childcare programs that kept us out of trouble, that helped us, that mean so much to families. And that's one thing I'm going to do is help draw down money from the state to have universal after school programs, the law that I helped create, so we can help families like my family was benefited, you know, 30, 40 years ago here in Sacramento. So those all are important issues to the future. And certainly my life experience will help shape that and bring about real results for our community and my city of Sacramento.
Assemblymember McCarty, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
That is current Assemblymember and Sacramento mayoral candidate Kevin McCarty. We're going to round out our conversations with the leading mayoral candidates next week. Our final guest is former State Senator Dr. Richard Pan. And a note, as State Assemblymember, McCarty placed $2 million in the 2022 state budget to help pay for construction of Cap Radio's new downtown studios, funding which has since been put on hold following an audit by the Cal State System, which holds Cap Radio's license. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.